Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on out there today? It's Tuesday, right?
You don't sound like you're sure.
I'm not sure.
It's Tuesday, and I forgot
for a second.
We watched that original Dracula last night.
That's right.
It was good. Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
There was a lot in this movie that I forgot about. There was stuff in it. I was like, oh man, I forgot that was in there. I hadn't seen it in a long, long time.
I hadn't either, actually.
And I think I was a kid the last time I saw all of it, sat down and watched all of it. Because there's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't remember until I saw it again. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like the fact that Dracula's whole harem is in it, of his vampire women. It's a harem. It's got three of them. And he's trying to add a fourth one to the harem.
Yeah.
But... And he does bring them to England, doesn't he? Or is he leaving? No, he leaves them back in Romania.
Yeah, he's like, screw those bitches. I can get the ones.
You going to make more?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he's tired of them. Probably with them for over 100 years.
He's like, well, you know, they can fend for themselves, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Go around.
And then another thing that was in it was Lucy was in it. And they imply that she went after a baby. They never really showed it, though, did they?
Yeah, that's the thing. They really did. Okay, so I hadn't seen the original 1931 Dracula for a really long time. A couple things I had forgotten. I had forgotten how wildly different this was than the book. Like, I knew that it was different from the book, but I didn't realize it was as different as it was. And I didn't realize, too, because this was pre-Hays Code, I kind of thought they could have gotten away with a little bit more, but they really didn't. Like, everything was... pretty much like censored, so they showed like hardly anything. Like there's actually no point where they show Bela Lugosi like with his mouth on anyone's neck, or like everything is implication or like cut away.
Yeah, which I thought was really, he never bites anybody.
Yeah, he never does. So it's like really, really interesting how they do that. And one thing that I was watching earlier, like I haven't seen the Spanish language version of it. But before we, you know, came on here, I was watching a video about that was like comparing the two movies, and apparently like the Spanish language version, like they could get away with a lot more in there, so it was like a lot longer and they showed a lot more things than the US version did. So it was really interesting, like comparison.
Everybody's saying the Spanish version's better. It's the same sets, it's just a different cast. Different director, and they were able to do more with the script. I'd like to see it.
It's the exact same script, too. They use the same script. The reason why the movie is longer is because Todd Browning, who directed the U.S. version, like cut out a lot more, or they had to cut out a lot more. I kind of feel like, from what I could determine, like watching the comparison video, it looks like the Spanish language version, in terms of... just like dynamism, like in terms of the way that it's shot, like it has like a lot more dynamic shots, like a lot more action. They actually show a lot more things that are only like reported on in the US version because they couldn't show it or they couldn't afford it or whatever. So in that sense, I think it's like better. Like I said, it's like a more dynamically shot movie. But the guy that plays Dracula is a little over the top, I kind of feel like. Like, Bela Lugosi is obviously, like, the OG. He's, like, you know, going to be way better. The guy that plays Dracula looked like it's cool, but he's, like, a little bit more, like, animated. You know what I mean? Whereas Bela Lugosi is a lot more, like...
low-key.
Like, low-key and, like, more creepy. And, you know, like, the way he moves is, like, very deliberate. Whereas, like, you know, the guy that plays him in the Spanish version is a lot more...
Maybe he never saw Bela's...
demonstrative.
Maybe he never saw Bela's performance.
He didn't. What they did, and this is, like, really interesting, too. So, this was apparently, like, a pretty common practice back in the day, because you have to think, like, this is only 1931. Like, prior to this, it was silent movies, and so you made a silent movie, you can show it all over the world, because there's no dialogue, right? So, it's just, you know, I mean, you have to do, like, different interstitial cards, like, with different languages and stuff, but they didn't have to, like, overdubbing or nothing like that. So when sound films, like, first came in, they were like, well, shit, now what are we going to do? We can't just, like, you know, we can't just, like, write some more, like, you know, title cards and call it a day. Now we have to have, like, a whole other thing. Like, we have to do it in different languages. So what they got in the habit of doing was they would shoot the English language film during the day, and then at night, the Spanish language crew would come in, and they would use the same sets, same costumes, same script, and everything. And they would actually, like, at least the guy that directed the Spanish language Dracula, he would watch the rushes from that day, like that Todd Browning had done. He didn't let the cast see it because he didn't want them to be influenced by the American actors' performances. He wanted to do their own thing, but they wanted to see what that, and there's kind of a story too that like the guy that directed the Spanish language version wanted to like make it better.
Yeah.
So he was like watching Todd Browning's like dailies and being like, I see what you're doing there, but how about this? You know what I mean? So he would do like a more, and sometimes he would like flip the shot, or sometimes he would like, but it was really interesting. It's a really interesting video, like seeing how two directors can come at the same thing, essentially. Like,
and what's the Spanish actor look like that played?
He looks very similar. And matter of fact, I think to save money, they used some of Todd Browning's like shots that he didn't use in his films. Okay. So actually some shots like far away are Bela Lugosi.
Okay.
Like if it's far away and you can't really tell who it is. So the guy actually does, you know, from far away does kind of look like Bela Lugosi. Like he has like the same outfit and the same kind of
hair. I'd like to see it.
And everything like that. Yeah, and I'm kind of interested to see it too, like now that I watched it. But one thing I had forgotten, like I said, because I'm pretty fairly familiar with the book, and even though I know that the Todd Browning Dracula was based on the stage play, and I've actually seen like a stage production of it, although I'm not sure if it's the same as the one that was touring at the time that the movie came out, but I had forgotten that the whole first part of the movie, which is at Castle Dracula, isn't Harker, it's Renfield.
Yeah.
And I had totally forgotten
that aspect. Yeah, I got confused.
Because at first I was like assuming that was Harker because, you know, that's how the book goes. Like Jonathan Harker, he's a solicitor and he shows up at Castle Dracula, he's going to sell him some property or whatever. And then when they said Mr. Renfield, I'm like, wait a minute, that's Renfield? What's going on? And then I was like, oh yeah, they did like change that around a lot.
They merged the two characters together.
I guess they did it. Well, they didn't though, because Harker's in it later. But then the thing about it is that Harker, who is like a big main character in the book, is in the movie, but he's like barely in it.
Yeah, so why put him in there?
Yeah, yeah, it really, they're
that,
really...
I didn't even realize that Harker was in it.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
It's just that he was like so bland and like didn't really do much of anything. It's just, like, it was really weird, like, how much they reduced his role. I'm not really sure why they decided to, I don't know, they didn't necessarily switch the characters, because once, you know, Dracula gets to England, then Renfield kind of, like, falls into his similar role as he did in the book, but, and Harker does too. But I'm not really sure what the impetus was for switching it, for making it Renfield. I saw one thing that, like, somebody that commented, they said, oh, well, maybe they did that to give Renfield, like, a reason that he was insane. Like, he was normal, and then he went to Dracula's castle, and then Dracula bit him and made him a thrall or whatever, or made him a slave, and that's what drove him crazy. Whereas in the book, he was already in the asylum. Like, he was already a crazy person. And I thought the implication in the book was that because he was quote-unquote feeble-minded or was already insane, that it was easier for Dracula to, like, control his mind and get him to do shit that he wanted. You know what I mean? So I guess they were trying to tie that together. But it just seemed weird because, like I said, then you have Harker, and Harker is in the movie, but he doesn't really do any of the Harker shit that, like, he did, the Harker shit, that he did in the book. You know what I mean? Another thing that I didn't realize until I saw another reviewer, like, point this out, is that in the Bela Lugosi Dracula, they have, like, the shit that happens with Lucy is, like, immediate. I didn't even realize that she had been killed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, in the book, it's a long process.
Yeah,
like,
he bites her over several
like,
days.
Like, over several days. Like, it's 3 days or three or something like that. Like, it's a while, and then it, like, takes her a while to die. And then, like, she comes back as the Bloofer lady, and she's, like, eating little children and stuff. Like, in the book, I'm talking about. But, like, in the movie, it's basically, like, she is talking to Mina one night about, oh, I think Dracula's kind of hot or whatever. And then, literally, like, the next scene, she's laying in bed. You know, Dracula comes in her window and, like, leans over her. And then literally the next scene, she's, like, in the autopsy thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, is she dead?
Yeah.
Like, in the morgue, and they're doing a thing. And they're like, look at the two little marks, but they don't show the little marks. You never see him bite anybody. You never see, like, a neck with marks on it. You never see that. You do see it in the Spanish version, but not in the U.S.
There's a lot of stuff you never see that they talk about.
Yeah.
Like, Dracula's abilities. Renfield says that he saw Dracula coming on like on a wave of flame, but then when it got closer, it was millions of little rat eyes, and then he opened his eyes and they were just like the rat's eyes, glowing red, but bigger. And he came as a swarm of rats. All right. But you only hear that, you never see it. And then Mina says that she woke up in a room filled with fog, and then eyes and a face coalesced out of it. So there's the whole vampires can take a mist form, you know, so it's all there. But they didn't have any ability to do any special effects to show it. His bat form is pretty bad.
Well, it was the 30s.
It was the 30s. It was almost kind of like they didn't try, though.
Like a big rubber bat.
Yeah. It wasn't a very convincing bat. It's a good movie. The acting's really good. Bela's the fucking star. He fucking slams it. All right. The script is kind of weak. It's the end is anticlimactic a lot. You just get staked, and you don't even really see that.
And you don't see it. It's like, yeah. He shoots it from, like, far away, and you just kind of see Van Helsing's back going, oh, and then you kind of hear Bela Lugosi going, oh.
He gets staked and fucking...
Well, they couldn't show it. They couldn't show it.
And then they fucking said, okay, let's get out of here, fucking roll credits. That's it. You're like, wait a minute, that's the end of that fucking movie?
Yeah, wait, what?
There was no big... All right, look. This is the fucking... This was like one of the greatest vampire movies of all times. It started the whole vampire thing.
Yeah, I mean, if the whole horror landscape would look completely different if this movie did not exist.
This is an important movie, all right? Bela's fucking... He's the best Dracula.
He's the reason to watch this movie.
Yeah. But man, fucking Bride of Frankenstein blows us out of the water.
I would argue that Bride of Frankenstein is a much better...
And so does The Mummy. Boris Karloff's The Mummy blows this out of the water. And The Mummy is a similar story, but it shows a lot more.
Yeah, they got away with a lot more. Yeah. Maybe because this was the first one, they were like afraid.
Maybe they were afraid or something.
To show certain things because, it was, and you could tell, it's very, very obvious when you watch it that they're like, I was like, oh, well, I guess they weren't allowed to show that, and they weren't allowed to show that. They weren't allowed to show anyone's neck with the bites on it. They weren't allowed to show anybody getting staked. They weren't, and that some of the stuff you could tell was budgetary constraints. Like, there's one scene where Harker, wearing, like, the most ridiculous pants ever, runs to, like, the French doors, and he's like, look outside, like it looks like a big huge dog, like, and they're like, oh, like a wolf, and I'm like, it'd have been cool to show that, but yeah. You know, rather than, but there's a lot of that, like, in the movie where they're just like talking, and so you can tell that this came from a stage play where, you know, obviously they couldn't get a wolf onto the stage, so they're just gonna have somebody going, look, a wolf outside, you know what I mean, but in a movie form it doesn't work as well.
And what's sad is that there's a lot of awesome gothic imagery in it, but it's not quite enough. Like, there's some really good shit back at Castle Dracula, the way it looks, the brides. But they didn't do enough with them. They don't do anything with them. You didn't see very much of it. I want to see the Spanish version now, you know. And then they go back to Carfax Abbey. Carfax Abbey is kind of like Castle Dracula. It's similar, just a British version of it. And they show some really cool shots in there. Dracula himself walking Mina around. Some good little scenes. Bela, what he does with his fucking hands and his mesmerism and mental domination over people. Really good scenes. They're just not enough. It's not enough of it. And then the bat transformation. I think that was weak even for the 30s. They could have done it a lot more artistically, I think. You wouldn't have to show a damn bat on a wire going around. There had to be a better way to do the bat effect, or totally get rid of the bat effect. Some of it feels just kind of rushed, if you ask me.
Like I said, and we sound like we're being like negative, and we're not, because like I really do, I like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
But I think Bela Lugosi is the best thing about it. But it's like I really think it's interesting. The editing in this movie is very strange too.
Yeah.
I kind of feel, and because remember what I was saying earlier about the whole thing with Lucy, where it's like literally like there's a shot of Lucy like, and you know, Bela Lugosi like leaning over her, and then like she's on the autopsy table. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then later on, like, I don't think, is there even a shot of her? I think there's one shot of her, like, her vampire form, like, walking around a cemetery, like, from far away. But then basically they just have Mina saying, oh, I looked and I saw her, like, standing there, and, you know, but then I realized she was dead. So they kind of, like, hint around at the whole Bloofer lady thing where she's, like, been vampirized and stuff.
Yeah.
But I will note that there was no scene, even though it was in the script, because it's in the Spanish language version and they use the same script, there's no scene where they kill Lucy. So yeah, Lucy's right. apparently still walking. And I didn't even realize that until I was watching another review of it. And they pointed out, they said, yeah, they left that plot thread hanging because... You know, they very clearly say that, yeah, she's walking around, like, as a vampire, but they don't, like, in the book, they, all the, you know, all her suitors, like, the three guys that were in love with her, they go into the crypt and, like, cut her head off.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, save her soul or whatever.
Man, I gotta see the Spanish version, because everything I'm hearing about the Spanish version, like, that's the movie I really wanted to see. What
like I said, it's longer. It's a half an hour longer. Happened.
I mean, even when Dracula... picks up, in this case it's Renfield, it's not
which that confused me for weird, a little while. That confused me at first because I forgot about that.
Dracula aspect. Picks up Renfield in his coach halfway to Castle Dracula, and he goes up and sees him, and it was Dracula himself driving the coach.
Yeah,
and they show his face and his eyes are all like headlights fucking beaming.
That was a great shot. I
it looked good shot. But I really liked the newer version with
who, with Gary Oldman?
Yeah, with Gary Oldman, when fucking the hand comes down and goes around his head and fucking puts him in. Puts him in. And it was just totally shot out of fucking, you know what I mean? You don't see the hand connected to anything.
Yeah.
Because the scale is totally wrong. That hand is big enough to wrap around his whole head. And he's just like, what the fuck?
Get in the coach, Keanu.
Put him in the back of the coach. And he never even got out of the seat. Just grab him by the head and put him in. And they really should have thought about stuff like that, because they had the ability to do special effects like that in 31. That was just a trick of camera angle and editing to do that. They didn't need a real hand. You know, it was a fake hand to go around his head like that, or just something with really long fingers. A guy with real long prosthetic fingers to go around his head like that and just shoot it in a certain way and shoot his face looking terrified at whoever it was, you know, Dracula. Up there in the driver's seat. There's a lot of shit they could have done. Talking about the Dracula riding in on a damn wave of flame, but it turned out to be tiny eyes of rats, you know, carrying him. They had the ability to do animation back then. I would have liked to have seen something like that, you know?
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was what... Like I said, you can tell, but it's very stagey because... Yeah. I mean, you have to give them a break, too, but you have to think that, like, you know, 1931, film hadn't really been around all that long, and...
Might not have been a horror market.
Well, that's... Well, they didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about it was that, you know, they'd done stuff, like, in the silent era, like, they did Phantom of the Opera and Hunchback of Notre Dame and stuff, which aren't technically horror movies. I mean, they kind of have horror elements, and those were, like, really, you know, popular. I kind of feel like when they were first... thinking about doing Dracula, they wanted it to be more like that, but I think that they were kind of afraid that, you know, they weren't sure how it was going to play, because like I said,
afraid of scaring people too much. I don't...
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, and I think
the Spanish weren't scared.
Well, yeah, like I said, the Spanish version is like, it's still not. I mean, it's not scary, and it's not like by today's standards or anything like that. But they did show a lot more.
They're showing you what was supposed to happen, because some of the shit's just kind of vague in this script. Like, I'd forgotten all about fucking Lucy. They never killed Lucy.
No, they didn't. So like I said, she's still. So they killed Dracula, but she's still wandering around, like killing little babies and whatnot.
Yeah. And they left the brides hanging. The brides are just back in Wallachia, Romania, you know, Transylvania.
Yeah.
You know? They're just hanging out, you know, making more vampires, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Going all Countess Bathory on people.
Probably.
They just leave that hanging.
Yeah, but like I'm saying that the whole thing of them killing Lucy, that was in the script. Because, like I said, it's in the Spanish language version, so they left it in. But for whatever reason, I don't know if they just forgot about it, or... Yeah. But they cut that out, so It just kind of, now, I mean, to be fair, I didn't realize that they had left that out because I was, like, you know, getting into the story and everything, but they did leave that out. They left that hanging.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
Yeah. Because that's kind of, like, a big deal. Like, in the book, that's a big deal. Like, that they all have to, like, get together and they're, like, horrified that they have to, like, cut her body up and, like, cut her head off and shit like that. But she was, like, running around, like.
And they didn't even talk about it. Like, we had to go down and kill Lucy.
Yeah, they don't even mention it. That's what I mean. Because some things that happen in here, like, they just mention it.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't even sure, like, when Lucy died, like, so quickly, like, after, like, two scenes or something. And I was like, are they even going to talk about, because I said, the way that the movie was going, I said, you can tell that they were really trying, like, not to be super controversial. And I was like, are they even going to mention that Lucy came back from the dead as a vampire and was, like, killing little kids and stuff? But they did mention it, and they did, and Mina did mention seeing her. And I think there was a shot of her, if I remember it correctly, like, her just, like, she doesn't look like vampire-y or anything. Like, nobody has fangs in this. No. That was a later iteration. But she's just, like, walking through the darkness or whatever. But then that's the last time you see her. Like, they don't mention her again, and they don't kill her. They don't, like, you know.
Yeah, we're not bagging on this movie. It's a great movie. It's imperfect. It's one of the first of its kind, though. And but what makes it great, if you ask me, is Bela Lugosi's performance. The Spanish script, the Spanish version sounds better in terms of script, what's on screen. I'd like to see it. But Bela's fucking great at it. And he does a bunch of stuff that I forgot about. Like, he could change his facial expression. He could look totally different if he had to from certain angles. Like, he'd look kind of slimy in certain shots, like kind of weak and oily. And then all of a sudden, real quick, he'd boom, and all of a sudden, seemed like he was a lot stronger. He put his head a certain way, you know, and used mental powers on people. So he's kind of, he is an odd guy. There's something not right with him. Even if he didn't know he was a vampire, he's doing weird shit.
Yeah, he was, like, way better at playing, like, a creepy character.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, charming and interesting, but
he was a sleazebag, too.
Yeah, like, the way he moved very, very slowly and very deliberately, and he spoke very slowly and deliberately, and I think that really, like, informed the character a lot. I mean, obviously, because I kind of feel like every Dracula iteration after that was influenced by him.
He's like a sleazeball that is really well dressed and on his best manners, but you got the feeling that he's being very formal, but you have the feeling that's not who he is. He's not. He's a fucking monster. He's a vampire. And he's just, the way he moves sometimes is like real formal and stern, and then sometimes he goes animalistic, and then sometimes he's just kind of creepy, which you kind of get that from Klaus Kinski's performance, certain elements of that in his version of Nosferatu, where he's just slimy and pitiful. I detected a little bit of that in Bela Lugosi's performance, only in certain moments, you know? Like when he introduced himself, he didn't really, there's something kind of odd about him.
I really liked the one scene, like when he first gets to England and he's kind of like walking through the streets, like in his top hat and cane and everything. And literally, like, the first thing he does, like, while he's walking around the street is he grabs that girl, like, that's there just, like, selling flowers or whatever, and, like, takes her behind the thing. They don't show it, obviously, but it's implied that he takes her back there and, like, kills her, because then they show her dead later on. So I like that they didn't, like, fuck around. They're like, even though he looks normal and he looks, like, you know, he's wearing a tux and the top hat and, like, nobody thinks he looks unusual, but he's still, like, a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it...
They were not some kind of war medal or something.
Yeah. Hugo said Dwight Fry is an underrated actor. Dwight Fry was great in this. I kind of feel like him and Bela Lugosi were, like, the main reasons to watch this movie. Dwight Fry was the guy that played Renfield, by the way. Okay. Like, as soon as, like, he goes crazy. Dwight Fry was in Frankenstein also.
Dude that played Van Helsing was cool, though, too.
Yeah, and I think that guy was in Frankenstein, too. I think that's the same guy. Because, like, they used a lot of the same actors. Yeah, Van Helsing was, like, a great character in this, too. But like I said, I just found it kind of strange that the kind of the main characters from the novel, who are, like, Jonathan Harker and Mina and stuff like that, really get relegated to not... I mean, Mina gets kind of a bigger part than Harker does. Yeah. Harker doesn't, like, do hardly anything, really. And like I said, now once they took out the whole, like, Lucy, like, them having to kill Lucy type of thing. And it's almost, too, here's another thing. I think in the book, it kind of took them a while to come to the conclusion that it was a vampire, right? I mean, you know, because Lucy, they thought she was dying from an illness. I think Van Helsing, like, knew what was up, but he wasn't saying anything about it. Whereas this one, they were pretty much like, you know, as soon as Lucy died, Van Helsing's like, oh, the bite marks, oh, vampire, and everybody's like, oh, okay, vampire. They were, like, all on board with it. I kind of feel like everybody just, like, believed it right away, which... You know, like I said, this isn't a long movie. It's only like an hour and 14 minutes. So I guess they were trying to like move stuff along. But it did seem kind of weird that everyone was just kind of like on board with, oh, yeah, it's a vampire. But then the weird thing is that once that they've established, oh, there's a vampire that's like, you know, snacking on everybody, you would think that the next assumption would be like, well, obviously it's Bela Lugosi because he's the one that just arrived here. But they don't really come to that conclusion. But then when they do... They don't really, it seems like to take them a while to kind of do anything about it. Because honestly, like, Dracula just comes to, I guess it's Van Helsing's house? I'm not really sure whose house it is.
Yeah, it's...
Or Dr. Really, Seward's house?
Yeah, you're not really sure where you are.
Oh, maybe it's Dr. Seward's house, because I think that it, because doesn't Dr. Seward, I think his house is, like, next to the sanitarium.
Okay,
And then, like, sometimes, like, Renfield, like, comes wandering into the house. So I'm assuming it's, like, next door. Oh, also, I think they made Mina Seward's daughter in this.
Okay, yeah.
Which, okay. Well, I kind of get why they do that. I know they kind of, like, make them related in a lot of different versions. Because remember, like, the Frank Langella version? I think that Van Helsing was Mina's dad, and then Seward was Lucy's dad or something. But then in the Frank Langella version, which was from 1979, they swapped Mina and Lucy, which I didn't get why they did that, because it didn't really make any difference. But, I mean, they just switched their names and characters, which I thought was kind of odd.
Maybe they didn't know what they were doing.
I've seen other versions where it's like, I don't understand why. It's like, I've never seen, like I said, if you've seen that Cinemassacre video where he's, like, doing the comparisons, like, which Dracula movie was, like, the closest to the book, there is not a single one that just follows the book. It's like, they always have to fuck with it, and I don't understand why that is. Always. Like, they either have to, like, switch characters around, or they have to, like, make characters related when they're not related, or... And I don't really get it. Like, sometimes I get it. Like, sometimes I could think, oh, if I was a writer, like, maybe you'd want to do that. But most of the time, it doesn't make any difference, so I don't really know why...
Now, from this moment on, Bela Lugosi's being plagued by this character, too. They always want him to replay Dracula all the time, but I think a lot of it was still copyrighted at the time. They couldn't do it, so they had to rename him and call him Count Yorga or some stupid shit like that, or just the vampire. But poor Bela was having to do this shit. Wait, when he was far too old, they'd have him on game shows dressed up in his Dracula outfit. And poor guy.
And, I mean, technically, he really only played Dracula in this movie and, like, one other one.
Yeah, the rest of them, he's playing another vampire.
Yeah, like, he did play other vampires, like, technically not Dracula, but it's, like, I kind of feel like he just got so... That's the thing, like, you get typecast in a role like that, which... And we were kind of talking about this when we were talking about Frankenstein. It's like that, it didn't happen to the same extent to Boris Karloff. Like, Boris Karloff still played lots of different kind of characters, whereas Bela Lugosi played this. And, I mean, the thing about it was that you have to admit, like, in Dracula, he crushed it. I mean, he established that archetype, which is awesome because we still are talking about him, like, 100 years later, but... It wasn't so great for his career because he got really, really stuck in that, and everybody just kept wanting him to repeat it, and I think it was very frustrating for him.
Yeah, and really my favorite movie of his is The Black Cat, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, and he plays a character named Vitus Veltegast. Vertigast, or is it Veltegast or Vertigast, something like that. And he's released from the Cool Gaul, which is a damn military prison. He goes back to get revenge on his commander, who did sacrifice the unit to consecrate the ground so he could build his evil satanic castle on. It's a fucking great flick, man. And he's not playing Dracula, but he's just playing another character, and he's kind of like playing himself in a way. If you ever see any old interviews with Bela, he kind of is in character all the time, and he always kind of seems like Vitus Veltegast whenever he's just talking. But see that one. It's got a lot of lines in it, you know. He's headlining in it right alongside Karloff. Good flick. That flick is actually better than this flick. I think The Black Cat is better than this is still a great flick, though. But
I mean, this is one of those movies that I kind of feel like if you care anything at all about, you know, movies as like a cultural artifact or anything like that, then this is, you kind of have to see this one. Because this is, like I said, this is like the OG Universal monster. This is the thing that makes us... this was the whole like thing that kicked it off. That's why we talk about Universal monsters still, like this many years later, because of this movie. And it was kind of like, honestly, it was kind of like a gamble at the time, because like I said, they didn't really have horror movies. Right. Like there weren't a lot of silent horror movies or anything like that, so they didn't really know how it was going to play. And the horror movies that they did have, like, were tended to be more like human monsters. Like, they didn't want to have like supernatural elements. If there were supernatural elements, then you would find out at the end that they were fake. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Because they were almost kind of like, they didn't want people actually like believing in the supernatural, or they didn't want to encourage it, I guess, which is like really funny to think about nowadays. Yeah.
Well, they had to treat people like children back then.
They did.
Also, they also had to moralize everything, that the evil people were always punished.
They always had to get punished.
And good people were always rewarded.
Right.
They did, you know, which that's not good. That's not good to teach people that. Because when good people die, the people are fucking astounded and they think that they must have done something wrong. No, good people die. They didn't do anything wrong. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, and that sucks, but that's just what it's like.
And that you could fall in the clutches of an evil person and they could just kill you, no matter how good you are. And that's something that back then they didn't really want to talk about, but that's always been reality. But when you look at this movie and then you look at later on, Bride of Frankenstein, the horror movie had come a long way. The gothic,
and it was only 4 years in between, because the first Frankenstein came out in 1931, the same year as this one, because this one was so massively successful that immediately they went and did Frankenstein. But Bride of Frankenstein came out in 1935.
Bride of Frankenstein, visually, the story, what's in there, what they're talking about, messing with their seed and shit, making it homunculus, and run around in crypts, and it's light years ahead of this. They're actually showing you stuff, and it's creepy what they're showing you. Real, but it's also real artistic.
They got away with a lot more. And I mean, I will say that James Whale was like maybe a more, I mean, and I'm not like, I really liked a lot of Todd Browning's movies. I don't think he made a shit ton. I remember he made Freaks, which actually is another movie that everybody should see. He got in big trouble for that, actually, because he used real circus freaks in the movie, and people were like fainting in the aisles and whatnot.
That's where those people got their status and their money from, though. If they weren't in the if they weren't in the,
but
in the
most
circus,
people,
they
yeah,
wouldn't have a
that's
family.
The thing.
They
but
wouldn't have
yeah.
a family or a job. That was a scene.
That was it's kind of a fucked up movie, like for the time. Yeah. Freaks. We should probably do that.
The guy with no arms and legs holding a knife in his teeth, like he's gonna hurt you. That was a good scene. This is a great movie, but they got better. They got The Mummy is better. Want to see The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Haven't seen that. I know that one was good. I remember it being great when I was a kid.
And that was like significantly later.
Yeah,
that was like 50s.
50s,
I think. That was 54, I think that was.
50s. And then The Thing was also 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Thing from Another World.
Yeah, I want to see that. I've never seen that.
Yeah, that might be another one.
I haven't seen any of the Wolfman stuff.
Yeah, we probably should do Wolfman, because we've done Frankenstein and now we're doing Dracula.
Yeah, now there's no sequel to this. No?
Yeah. The second one is, I think the second one's Dracula's daughter.
Okay.
And then there's Son of Dracula.
Okay, and it's in the same franchise.
Yeah.
Okay, then I gotta see him. Bella's in him?
I don't think he was.
Okay.
But you know what the thing about it, like Dracula, when they were first gonna make it, they actually wanted Lon Chaney to be in it. Lon Chaney was supposed to be Dracula. Okay. And I think he was supposed to be Van Helsing too. But he died. So they were thinking about some other actors. I think they considered like John Carradine, Conrad Veidt, who was in The Man Who Laughs and Hands of Orlach. He's great, actually. He would have been a good Dracula, probably. But, I mean, you know, not as iconic as Bela Lugosi, probably. But they didn't really want Bela Lugosi at first. It just happened that Bela Lugosi had been in the stage production, which was touring around the U.S., and it so happened that the stage production was in L.A. at the time they were casting the movie. And so they were, like, convinced to put Bela Lugosi in the movie because he was getting, like, such good notices for being in the stage production. But when they asked him to be in it, they said they'd only let him be in it if he, like, took a pay cut. So he only made... This movie took 7 weeks to shoot, and he only made $3,500. Like, he got paid less than the dude... I think his name was David Manners. The dude that played Harker, even though Harker is barely in the shit and, like, doesn't do anything. Like, I wouldn't say Harker's barely in it. It's just that... The first part of the movie, like I said, that normally would have been Harker, because that's how it was in the book and that's how most other adaptations of it were, was Renfield, which was Dwight Frye, who was great. But then, like, once they get to England and, you know, Harker gets more into the story, he doesn't really do a lot. I mean, it seems like it's mostly... I mean, you probably could have taken him out, and I don't think it would have made a difference.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What up? You doing? You buffalo herding?
Yeah, she's sounds like a whole she's herd buffalo of buffalo herding. Which she runs.
She did that at like 5 o'clock this morning too. Yeah. Did you hear it?
She smacks the ground with all 4 feet. She gets down real low. She's not even standing up. She's barely rubbing across the floor.
It's like that's the she probably only weighs like 10 pounds, if that. Yeah, yeah. And it's like she sounds like a whole like fucking herd like running across the floor.
We hear it in the middle of the night. She'll run through the whole top floor. Making noise the whole time.
They call that the zoomies.
Yeah.
That's what they call that. Zach says, I still say the best Dracula movie is the Gary Oldman movie. I honestly really, really love the Gary Oldman movie, and it is actually like a lot more faithful to the book.
I liked Dracula Untold.
Yeah, so somebody said about that too. Danny Rowling said about that.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Although that wasn't really, I mean, that was more based on Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't actually.
They merged
based on
it all together.
Yeah. Which, that was a later thing. There's been, like, I think, as far as I know, there's, like, a lot of back and forth about how much of Vlad the Impaler that Bram Stoker, like, put into the novel. Like, he did know about Vlad the Impaler, and he did put some details about that, like, in the book, but I don't think that Dracula was supposed to be Vlad the Impaler.
Dracula Untold is kind of like Dracula's origin story.
Yeah.
What he did back when he was Vlad the Impaler. That's how I remembered it, but I've only seen it once. I have it on Blu-ray. I gotta go watch it again. I remember liking it, though. I think it's like a prequel to this.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, showing what he did back in the 1500s or the 1400s with the Turks.
This one, this Bela Lugosi one, it doesn't really go a lot into his history, like Dracula's history, does it? Because I kind of feel like in the novel, like he talks a lot
just
about...
Just that he's centuries old.
Right, yeah, but I think basically all he says, and he even says that kind of obliquely, because he even says to Van Helsing in this movie, he's like, oh, well, you're a wise man for somebody that's only lived one lifetime, or something like that. So he implies that he's, you know, been around a long time, but he doesn't really go a lot into his history, whereas in the book he does, and I think in a lot of the other movies he does. But like I said, I think there was more of his origin a little bit, like, in the script, because I think they talked a little bit more about it in the Spanish language version. So, which, like I said, was the exact same script, but they left a lot more stuff in.
I gotta see that. Where can we see it?
I don't know. I have to, like, look it up. I think, like I said, I haven't watched the whole thing straight through, but I was, like, watching, like, clips of it, because it was a really good video that did, like, a comparison that was talking about all the shot differences and stuff. And he was basically saying that in terms of, I mean, in his opinion, he was like, as far as, you know, Dracula, Bela Lugosi, he's like, and as far as like the atmosphere, that he thinks the American one was better. But he's like, as far as how the shots were staged, you know, kind of like the dynamism, like I said, of the shots, it was more action. There was more, he's like, and I'm not saying that the Spanish language one was like, you know, didn't have slow bits, because it did. It's like a lot longer. And some of the, you know, just like in the American version, like sometimes the scenes went on kind of longer, were very stagey or static. But he's like, the American version, like a lot of the shots were, again, like very static, whereas they were a lot more dynamic, like in the Spanish language
version.
Some of
that shit was real effective though, like when, when Dracula was trying to dominate, mentally dominate Van Helsing, and he says, come here. And then he goes, come here. Here. and fucking Van Helsing is fucking trying to resist it. You're like, is he gonna go?
No.
He eventually goes, oh, no. He goes, you have a very strong will. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. But, it's like, so, I do kind of feel like I said, there was a lot of, like, kind of static stuff and a lot of stuff that they probably could have shown rather than just, like, talking about it. Like, the, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's kind of betraying its origins as, like, a stage play rather than being, like, a direct adaptation of the novel. So, I'm not going to get too mad about it. But I don't know. So, yeah, I would be kind of interested to see that. Like, from what I could see of the guy, and I can't remember the actor's name that played Dracula in the Spanish language version, but he did look a lot like Bela Lugosi, but he was, like I said, he was a lot more animated, and I kind of feel like Bela Lugosi being very still and very deliberate was, like, a lot creepier. Like, yeah, he came across as, like, a lot more threatening, yeah. I kind of feel like. You know, which is why that performance is so iconic. And, you know, just, like, the way he talked and everything was like, a lot creepier.
Yeah. I mean, there have been portrayals of vampires where the guy didn't even say anything and it was fucking powerful. Like, the skinny guy from Salem's Lot who played Mr. Barlow.
Barlow, yeah.
He just came in, crashed through the window like a damn ball and hit the ground like a flat piece of sheet and then just stood up with it.
Man, what a great scene that was.
Yeah, he didn't say anything, you know. Yeah, just weird shit. He had that his servant do all the talking for him.
See, I would argue, and we've talked about this before, I would argue that it's, a lot of times your monster, it's scarier if they don't talk.
Yeah.
It's scarier if they don't talk. And actually, I was kind of thinking about it today because I have a video that's going up later this week where I'm going to be talking about the Dario Argento movie, Mother of Tears, you know, the third in the Three Mothers trilogy. And I think one of the mistakes of the many that he made in that movie was that the witch, like the main witch villain, talks. And I'm like, well, she's not in it a lot, but I really wish, I'm like, that really, really kind of... It really lessens your menace when you're talking. Usually. Not always. I mean, obviously, it depends on what you're talking about. If I'm talking more about, like, monsters, you know? Monsters. If you have something that's like a serial killer, like, you know, Hannibal Lecter or something like that, obviously a lot of his menace comes from him talking and, like, what he says because of this psychological, like, mindfuck that he pulls on you. But I kind of feel like when you have a monster like Mr. Barlow, even though he did talk in the book, didn't he?
Yeah, he talked to him. He spoke in the book, yeah.
See, I think that was... I think that was absolutely the right call by Tobe Hooper, like, when they did the adaptation to have Mr. Barlow not talk. It's much scarier when he doesn't talk.
Yeah, he had his servant do all the talking for him. I forgot what that guy's name was. The guy who ran the antique shop.
Yeah.
So that way you could... And, you know, and they were very different looking. You know, had one guy who was just, like, kind of this eloquent old gentleman with the damn mustache and a damn derby... And this other guy that looked like a Nosferatu, like a bluish Nosferatu that crawled out of a crypt somewhere, you know, in a rag, if I remember. It wasn't really in rags, was he? He was just in a black cloak.
Yeah, something like
a black cloak. I don't even think it had a hood on it though. It was just a creepy dude.
Yeah, but I think like the best thing about this, I think, is just the way that Bela Lugosi moves and the way that he talks. Even though he talks, like, he's still creepy because there's just a lot of shots of just his face, like, looking, and it looks really good. Another thing that I had forgotten about was that this movie, the version that we watched, and I'll get into this in a minute, but it didn't have a score. You know, did you notice that? Like, it's quiet. Yeah, like, through the whole thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
So it was almost like a silent movie in some ways. Like, obviously it has dialogue and shit like that, but there's long stretches of it where nobody talks and there's no music, which makes it a little bit creepier, I kind of feel like.
It just had music at the beginning and in the opening
credits.
Yeah,
it just had, like, the Swan Lake, the Swan Lake, the Tchaikovsky music. Yeah. They had that at the beginning, but, like, other than that, there's no music in it. Right. So a lot of the scenes, like, the scene where they first introduced Dracula, where he's coming out of the coffin and, like, the brides are down in the crypt or whatever. Yeah, it's just, like, it's silent. Like, they just kind of come toward the camera and there's, like, no music or no sound. In 1998... very famous classical composer Philip Glass did a score for this movie. So if you buy it now, like on DVD or Blu-ray or something like that, it usually has an alternate track where you can watch it with Philip Glass's score on it. Some people like it, some people don't. I mean, I really like Philip Glass. I've always liked his music. I remember I really liked the music that he did for the original, like, Candyman, the Clive Barker one. I love that. But didn't he do Koi on a Scotsy? I think he did Koi on a Scotsy too, now that I'm thinking about it. But that was also great. But so I haven't heard, like, the score for this, but he did write a score, like, specifically for this because it didn't have one. Because, like I said, you know, this was only a couple years out from the silent film era, so they weren't used to movies having scores. Although, what they would do, like, silent movies is they would have, like, a live person there. Like, they'd have a piano, and they'd sometimes, like, play, like, dun-dun-dun, you know what I mean? Like, if shit was going on. So I guess they didn't really get their shit together enough to, like, have the movie have a score. But, yeah, it was, like... I don't know. I think in some ways that kind of makes it creepier because, like, some scenes are just, like, there's nothing. And there's, like, just long scenes of his, like, creepy-looking face. Like, he's looking all, like, intense and shit like that.
I just always kind of associate these movies with my childhood.
Yeah.
Because I was able to see them on TV when I was young, like 10, you know, 8, 9, 10. They played them on television. A lot of times early in the morning before the cartoons, I think. Or maybe it was after the cartoons. I don't remember. Sometimes it was dark when they were on. Because I think I would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning because cartoons came on at 6.
Yeah.
And at 5, they were playing this kind of stuff before the sun came up. And they weren't very complicated, so a kid could understand what the hell was going on. You know what I mean? And it was like, ooh. And I always kind of felt relieved that they would never really show anything that I couldn't handle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I knew that more modern movies, you know, of the 70s, you know, is what I'm talking about, showed, you know, gore.
Yeah, you never knew what you were going to see because there was some fucked up shit happening in some 70s movies.
Yeah. But I remember seeing this one and not really knowing what a vampire was when I saw the movie. They explained it. I was like, oh, okay. They come out of the ground. And then I asked for a model of Dracula. They made it in the 70s. They made a model of Dracula and Frankenstein. Their faces glowed.
Yeah, Aurora
made it. Yeah, I had that, and the hands and the face would glow on it, and I think I painted them. And
man, if you still had those, you'd be like,
I'd had that up.
Those
on,
go for a lot of money now.
I had them up on my dresser and shit at night, so I would look over there and see them glowing hands and face and get creeped out. Ooh, roll around the other way. You know, look back, and Dracula's still there. You know, I was like, yeah, okay. I think I had the Frankenstein too, but I got that one separate. And I think there was a Creature from the Black Lagoon and a Mummy.
Yeah, I remember those.
I think they were models.
Those are highly sought after by collectors items. Collectors, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look at Pookie. She was just back there staring up at the ceiling fan for like a really long time. But yeah. Oh, another thing I was gonna like, I thought this was really funny. So we were watching the movie last night, like the scene toward the beginning when Renfield first gets to, it's actually Hungary, like in the movie. It's everybody speaking Hungarian. So Renfield gets there and they're like, yeah, we don't really want to take you any farther because it's, you know, it's getting dark and it's like scary up there because there's vampires. And he's just like, whatever, man, I have to get up there to like fucking do my business or whatever. So the driver like takes him in the carriage and he said, I have to meet, you know, Count Dracula or whatever at the Borgo Pass. And so they're going to have somebody like pick him up. And then like for the longest time, you know, the scene where, you know, the carriage with Harker and Renfield, see what I'm doing, with Renfield in it, like, goes up toward the Borgo Pass, and then he meets up with Dracula's carriage, and Dracula's, you know, driving the carriage, although he doesn't know who that is or anything. And Tom was so confused for, like, the longest time, because he's like, well, wait a minute, why is Dracula, I thought Dracula was just at the castle, and then he was watching the carriage come there. Yeah. So I didn't really understand like why you were confused at first because we had to like back it up and he had to watch the scene again.
Yeah.
Because he was like confused.
The way it was edited, it looked like he was standing on the front of his porch watching the damn
Dracula standing on the porch.
Yeah, he's sitting on a porch at the castle. That's what it looked like.
In the rocking chair.
Yeah, it's like he's on the porch. And here comes the carriage and it's pulling up next to his other carriage in the driveway. That's what I thought. That's how I saw that. And I was like, what? No,
he's like, wait, what?
Yeah, how did he get down there? You know, he's already there. You know,
I was like, no, he's not at the castle. He's at Borgo Pass. I said, well, I guess because you weren't listening to the dialogue, because he said he had to take this first carriage to Borgo Pass, and then
to switch off.
Yeah, and then he was going to get switched because Dracula's carriage was going to pick him up because presumably the carriage driver from the town wouldn't go all the way up to Castle Dracula because they were scared of the place.
Right.
So he would need to come down and pick him up like at a halfway
Dracula
point.
Wasn't in the damn carriage though. He was leaning up against a wall. See, and I thought
leaning against a wall. He was on the carriage, the top of the carriage, driving it.
Okay, I thought he was watching it happen.
No.
The way they edited it, it looked like he was leaning up against a wall or something.
No, he wasn't leaning against a wall.
And watching
No, he was up on the thing, and he turned around, like, looking at
yeah.
at him down there.
Because their things are static, it's hard to know sometimes who is where in space. And it, because they're doing cuts, and they're obviously not in the same location anyway, you know. But
I mean, this was edited weird. I will give you that. But it wasn't. But it still wasn't confusing to me. Now, I will say that the editing did confuse me a couple times, like especially like when Lucy died. I'm like, wait, what? She's dead already? I was like, what happened to the whole like?
And they never killed her vampire.
And they I didn't even realize that until later. Until I was like watching another review, and then I was like, wait, shit.
Yeah,
they mentioned it.
Like, yeah, that's right. They never.
They never did they never like did resolve that her. Plot point.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Well, we've seen it. We've heard the story so many times through other iterations of it that. I assume they killed her, but they never did really.
But they never did show
they
that.
They never did, yeah.
They never did show that. Which, like I said, maybe I just assumed. Yeah, they didn't even mention it. That's what I said. I just assumed because I'm so familiar with the story that it's like, well, yeah, duh, obviously. They would just, like, go and kill her, but they didn't even say anything about it.
Right.
Pat Hatfield said, I was just about to ask if there were any Hunger fans. I love the Hunger.
Yeah.
That's actually probably one of my favorite, it's probably one of my favorite vampire
people
movies of all
time. People
in there
talking about Count Yorga and the Blackula series. Those two Blackula movies are fucking great, too.
Yeah, they kick ass. Those are really,
Blackula
really good.
Blackula Scream. Those are good vampire movies.
Yeah, those are really good.
That was those two stories were more instrumental in Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles. Because those movies cover more of what vampire culture was. Even though there are different versions of those movies. And the ones that I've seen now of Scream, Blackula Scream, a lot of it's been edited out. Because there was a bunch of slavery references to it that they took out of there. Because vampires were... Blackula became what he hated most. He was a slaver, basically. He was making slaves, people into slaves. And that's what vampire thralls were. You know, slaves. Because I'm a slave now? He goes, yes. Fucking, and he got killed behind trying to stop the slave trade. Fucking between the nobility of Africa and Europe. And he didn't know it, but the dude that he was... talking to who was behind the European slave trade was Dracula. It was Dracula that was behind it. And he turned him into a vampire and fucking says, I'm gonna curse you with my disease and I name you Blackula. That's how he got the name. So he didn't make that up for himself. He wasn't given to himself. Dracula called him that.
Yeah, and that was like an insult.
It's like an insult, yeah.
Zach says, also, my dad just saw you on my phone while making dinner. His reaction, who are these guys?
Tell us a long story.
Hi, Zach said. It's a long story.
Yeah.
Hugo says, after watching Universal Monsters, you guys should watch Van Helsing 2004. I did not like that movie. Like, I remember, I didn't, like, somebody loaned it to me, and I'm not a big fan of those kind of, like, action horror movies that kind of started to come about like in the 90s and mid 2000s with like all the CGI and shit. I just wasn't really a fan. I don't really like Underworld. I don't really like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really like the action horror hybrid.
Before we move too far away, I'm going to say go watch the two Blackula movies. I got them both on Blu-ray.
They might both be on Tubi.
Yeah.
I think.
Now you kind of, the second one, they've kind of dumbed it down a little bit. They've cut some stuff out of it, but they're still good movies.
And I like the second one because it's got like that voodoo angle.
Yeah, it's got the voodoo angle. That's how they brought That's how they brought Mama Walde back. Or Blackula's real name is Mama Walde. They brought him back using voodoo. And but that's where a lot of the Anne Rice got a lot of her ideas from the Vampire Chronicles of the vampire culture. About how a vampire could just show up and become rich all of a sudden. You say, well, how do you get rich like this? Well, it's because he found a rich dude and turned him into a vampire and made him his slave and took over his house. That's usually how they did it. And then he'd start making a whole damn crew of vampires to thralls and vampires to serve you and vampire fucking harems of vampire girls and stuff. And it's never really mentioned whether or not they have sex. I don't think they do have sex. And I think Anne Rice got that right. Drinking blood was sex to them. They didn't have sex.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was the implication of vampires going back to Bram Stoker, at least. Well, actually, even before that, because Carmilla, which by Sheridan Le Fanu, that came out before Dracula.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know if it was explicit, but it was, like, fairly explicit for the time. And honestly, like, the novel of Dracula was pretty, I mean, by Victorian standards, was, like, pretty smutty. Like, some of the implication in it.
Well, they're eating and reproducing with blood.
Right. So it's kind of like the same thing.
It's the same thing.
So I think that Victorian audiences would have understood that as like a sexual metaphor, I would think.
Yeah, but there was no copulation, which is why I didn't like the new that first new episode of Interview with the Vampire we saw. They made a lot of mistakes. It's going too far away from Anne Rice's concept. They're showing the vampires as gay, having sex. They didn't have sex. They just drank blood. That's sex was that for them. They were all in love with each other, but they were all the same species. They were all the same gender. They were, I guess you could say, they were gender non-binary. Once you became a vampire, that was it. They were all the same gender, but there wasn't any sex, as you would know it. They were totally different, but they were also kind of like emotional. They were all about love and hate and loyalty and who betrayed who and who's going to spend time with who. They were attention whores, you know, because that's the only thing you would value if you lived forever. You know, how much time will you spend with me? What could you teach me? That's the only thing they worried about. Think, you know what I mean? Because that would be a high priority.
Yeah.
You know.
Slasher Fred said, one of these days you should review the two House of Wax movies, Mystery of the Wax Museum and House of Wax from 1953 with Vincent Price. I would actually, did we do those? Oh, maybe not. I kind of thought we did, but maybe not. And then somebody said, oh, Slasher Fred also says, there's an underrated movie called Martin, which is about this guy who's convinced he's a vampire. Yeah, that's George Romero. We reviewed that a very long time ago. I think before we even had a video component. I think that was an audio only. But yeah, we did that a really long time ago. I really, really like Martin. And yeah, I kind of feel like a lot of people haven't seen it. It's very, very underrated, like I said. Let's see. I got behind, you know what I mean? And Zach says, talking about movies, like talking about the Resident Evil movies, even though they suck, but it'd be fun to watch us talk about them. Pat Hatfield said, haven't seen Innocent Blood in a long time. I kind of remember that one, but I think I only saw it once, so I don't remember that much about it. Anybody like Vamp? We reviewed that.
Yeah, Vamp was pretty good.
We reviewed that.
Yeah.
With Grace Jones.
Grace Jones, yeah.
The Marvelous. Maybe Grace like a Jones. Year ago?
Yeah.
Maybe not even that long ago. It was fairly recently.
What was so funny about Grace Jones is that I thought she was gorgeous, but I was like, man, she's not my type. She's too tall and skinny. Turns out she was only like 5'3".
Yeah.
Doesn't she seem like she'd be tall?
Yeah, I guess she's, it was just tall, like though. Her build, she came across as someone that was like very tall and like statuesque.
Yeah, and it's just, I guess the way that they shot her, you know what I mean? And like just, the I guess the stuff that they put her in, I always thought she was like 6 feet, 5'10". No, she's an itty-bitty thing. But she didn't come across that way in the movie. She came across as like larger than life and weird. But I liked her. She was cool.
Speaking of heights, that was another thing that I remembered about this, about Dracula, is that there's a shot in this movie where Bela Lugosi, when he comes up to the, where they're at the symphony, and he comes up to the box, like, and he's talking to Dr. Seward and them, and they shoot it so that Bela Lugosi looks much shorter than the actor playing Dr. Seward, and I'm not entirely sure why they shot it like that, because remember when we did the show not too long ago about Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, and you were surprised that Bela Lugosi was like 6'1"?
Yeah, because he looks short.
And that's why. I think that's why, because you're so used to seeing he was shot in this movie, and he looked short, which is really weird, because he was like the same height or a little bit taller, I think, than the actor that played Dr. Seward. Yeah. But the way that they shot it, like Dr. Seward was like up here, which is weird. You'd think they'd want him to look bigger, like more intimidating and monstrous, but they didn't do that.
Even in The Black Cat, he looks like he's shorter than Karloff.
Than Karloff. And I think they were about the same height. About the
height. Same height, yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what's kind of strange. You always have and maybe too, because it's because Karloff played Frankenstein's monster and they put those big lift shoes on him. So you're used to him being like a big, and they had like all the stuff like in his clothing that made him like bigger.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen The Mummy, see The Mummy. The Mummy's, it was much better. The first time I'd seen it was only just a couple days back. It's like Dracula. It's Karloff's response to Dracula, if you ask me. It's a very similar story, but it's an Egyptian motif. Real good. Real good. Liked it. Better than Dracula, I would have to say, technically. And the special effects, the acting, the story's better, the edit's better. I think it has a score, if I remember correctly. It's a better movie. Is it Bela Lugosi doing Dracula? No, it's not. It's just, they're their own things, but technically I think Mummy was better. If you want that European dark gothic horror look, you want Bride of Frankenstein so far. Everything that I remembered from these old movies as a kid came from that movie.
Yeah.
Everything I remembered about everything that I remembered about Frankenstein came from that movie. I thought it came from the first one. No, it came from the second one. It's like the difference between Alien and Aliens, or Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. A lot of that gothic, dark gothic, spooky imagery and shit. Everything that I remember as a kid, that's from Bride of Frankenstein. Great.
Yeah. I think of all the ones we've watched, I mean, they all have something to recommend them, but yeah. all the ones that we've rewatched recently, yeah, Bride of Frankenstein is like easily the best one.
Yeah.
It's
easily... What this movie offers is Bela Lugosi. He's fucking knocks it out of the park. He fucking crushes it.
And Dwight Fry is great in this, too.
Yeah, he crushes it. I mean, he's the main attraction of this movie. Yeah, there's some good ideas, but they don't really develop them. Like, the Vampire Brides, his harem, there should have been more of that, and they should have been characters in the story, which they are, I think, in the books and then in some of the other movies. They bite the fucking realtor and try to enslave his ass, and Dracula gets jealous and goes down. I think he kills one or two of them, doesn't he? I thought he killed one of them in Bram Stoker's Dracula. Or did he just knock her away?
I think he just knocked her
away. Just knocked her away? Okay.
Well, because they came in and they were going to eat Jonathan, yeah, and he was like, no, that's mine. Yeah. Here's a baby.
That's right. Throw him back.
He threw a baby in a bag.
All right. For some reason, I thought he killed one of them.
I think he
just
did.
Smacked her and she flew up on and flew up on, held onto the wall or the ceiling or something, and ran from him, something like that.
John Smith said, fun fact, in Bram Stoker's obituary, it never mentions Dracula once. In his lifetime, he was mainly known for working in theater management. Yeah, that's true. And it mentions also author of several novels. Isn't that funny? And that's, like, pretty much the only thing he's, like, really remembered for, like, broadly nowadays. Danny Rowling said, yeah, you did review House of Wax. I thought we did, because I thought we watched it, like, not too long ago. Let me see. They're talking about From Dusk Till Dawn. Pat Hatfield said, I thought Dracula's Daughter, which is one after this, was a lot better.
Maybe you could
review that, unless you already did. Yeah, I don't think we've done Dracula's Daughter. And I think there was, like I said, Son of Dracula is the third one. That's on Tubi as well. Slasher Fred points out, I forgot to point this out. In the scene where Dracula first arises from his coffin, there's a scene where a beetle comes out of a little tiny coffin.
Yeah, we saw.
We were like, wait a minute, what? I thought it was a bee because he had a stripy butt.
It's actually a potato bug.
Yeah, okay.
We would call it potato bug.
But that's cute that he had, like, his own little...
He had his own little coffin. Yeah, his own coffin.
And they don't explain it, like, or mention it again.
You're supposed to giggle.
I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And then they're talking about the original Fright Night is a great 80s movie. I agree. One of my favorite horror comedies, big time. Actually, a couple of years back for Halloween, well, it was not this past Halloween, obviously, but I think it was the Halloween before, I dressed up as Vampire Amy from Fright Night, from the original Fright Night.
Mark said the BBC did a Dracula recently. It's on Netflix. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like all of the versions. And I think the BBC did one in, I want to say it was the 70s, maybe 1978, that's supposedly, like, the most faithful to the novel, even though they do change some stuff because everybody does. But, yeah, so, but like I said, because I hadn't seen this 1931 version in such a long time, I forgot how much... It was more based on the play, and I had totally forgotten about the whole Harker Renfield switcheroo. So,
yeah.
So that was, like, really confusing me, like, for the first 10 minutes of the movie. I'm like, wait, who is this now? Why is this Renfield?
Go ahead and hit the like button, if you will, people. That'll help us out in the algorithms. And super chats are active. If you want to drop Jenny a super chat, just go ahead and drop her one, and we'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, Danny Rowland's talking about Lost Boys. That's also another great 80s vampire movie. Yeah, I would like to see, like, the new Dracula. Did I start watching it? I don't know. I don't remember if I did. I thought I started watching, like, a Dracula thing recently, like a series. Danny Rowland said the Fright Night remake is good. I'm kind of, like... I've debated, like, whether I want to watch it or not, because I love the original Fright Night so much that I just don't think that the remake could live up to it. So, I don't know. I mean, if it's good, I might give it a whirl one of these days, but, you know.
Remakes are risky, man.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I don't shit on them, like, just across the board, you know. But if I really, really liked a movie a lot, then I'm usually pretty reluctant, like, to see the remake. Because I'm like, man, if you fuck it up, it's going to, like, taint my whole...
They are considering remaking the original Star Wars trilogy. That's going to be a clusterfuck.
Well, I don't know why they would bother, because why people still watch those.
They still watch the old ones, yeah.
Like I said, if you're going to remake a movie,
remake
something that was a good idea, but they fucked up the first time.
There's shit Lucas did to the originals, though, that fucked them up, like the original Emperor. They should have left that scene in there. They shouldn't have gone back and changed anything. Just let him be in there.
He likes to tinker.
He's going to go back and change shit.
I mean, I know it's his movies and he can do what he wants to, but it's just kind of like, what, you know, it's like, that's so much part of the culture now.
Yeah.
But sure. I don't know. I could think of like a million, I can think of like a million novels that could probably be adapted if you're looking for something to, you know, like that, if you don't want to have to like write an original screenplay. But if you must do a remake, I could think of lots and lots of movies, like from the, you know, from the 30s right up, actually from the silent era, like right up until today, that were like great ideas, but, you know, maybe they didn't have the budget, or maybe they didn't, you know, maybe something else went wrong with it that, you know, or maybe because of like, you know, censorship rules or something like that, but now you could make it. And, you know, so there's really no reason to take a movie that was awesome the first time, like Fright Night from 1985, and remake it. Even if the remake is good, I just don't really see the point of it. I was like, if you're going to remake something, take a movie from the 80s that was like okay, but not that great or kind of shitty, but had like a good idea behind it, and remake that instead and like make it better. If you can't make it better, then don't bother.
Grace Jones comes back between somewhere between 5'8", 5'10". For some reason, I was thinking that she was a lot shorter. I thought she was tall, but then I came across something that said no, she was... Wasn't it something when we were doing Vamp? Didn't we dig up some shit?
I don't remember you saying that she was that short, but I know
she
that
was
that's
a lot shorter than I thought she was. I thought it was
because
like
5'3". We just talked about Vamp like not that long ago. You know, so we were talking about it recently, but
because she had a reputation for being tall and skinny.
Yeah,
but then somebody said later on, when we were doing research for Vamp, that no, she was small, like 5'3", 5'4", 5'5", around that size.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Danny Rowling said, remake House on the Edge of the Park. Yeah, see, I mean, there's like a million movies that, especially like during the exploitation era and stuff like that, that were like really cool ideas, but they didn't really have the money or the wherewithal to do it maybe as well as they wanted to. So I kind of feel like, and I'm not saying that sometimes, because look, the Dawn of the Dead remake from 2004, which I thought was going to suck, was actually really good. Yeah. I was like, I was surprised at like how good it was. So it can be done.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. It didn't need to be made, but it was fine. It was okay. You know, so it can be done. Like Hills Have Eyes, somebody mentioned Hills Have Eyes remake was good. Yeah, that was good. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad movie, but I just think that that's probably more.
Pat Hatfield's mentioned that he adored the Black Cat, Bela Lugosi. That's my favorite Bela Lugosi movie, actually, Black Cat.
That's a good one. Yeah,
yeah. That's the best. That's the best one with him in it, and Karloff. Just that's a fucking weird flick, man.
We should probably do like White Zombie one of these days too.
Yeah.
Like with Bela Lugosi in it.
Okay.
Slasher Fred said, if you guys ever see that movie Bordello of Blood. Yeah, I've seen that. I don't think we reviewed it, but we did Demon Knight, but I don't think we've done Bordello of Blood, the other Tales from the Crypt movie. Both Chris Sarandon and Corey Feldman reversed their roles in Fright Night and the Lost Boys. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I remember Bordello of Blood being a lot of fun. Like, you know what I mean?
I didn't like it.
I think I liked Demon Knight better just because it was weirder. But, and that fucking dude is in it that fucking put the sponge coming out of his mouth. That was like fucking hilarious. We just reviewed that not too long ago, but I don't think we've done Bordello of Blood yet.
I remember Bordello of Blood being goofy, but I'd have to see it again.
Well, it's like I said, it was a Tales from the Crypt movie, so it's gonna have... Tales from the Crypt was kind of more known for being, I don't know if it's a straight up horror comedy, but kind of horror comedy, but like super super gory. That was like one of their things, was like it has to be super gory and fun and kind of funny. So I kind of feel like, would you guys ever review the 1996 film Fear? Is that the one, the thriller with, what's his face? Was it, did not, that wasn't Alicia Silverstone, was it? and Wahlberg. Is that the movie that you're talking about? Because I remember that being good. It was like kind of like a stalker thriller type situation. Yeah, we might review that one of these days. And then Hugo says, I like Let Me In better than the original. I liked it, but I think I liked the original better, but the remake was actually, like, decent. Or, like, the American version. Pat says, John Carradine did eventually play Dracula in some pretty inconsequential films. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, that's right. That's what I was... But yeah, I saw that. I remember that being all right. All right, so we've been going for, like, an hour and a half. You want to wrap it up, or you have something else to talk about?
No, that's it. We can shut it down.
Okay. So, anyway, speaking of horror movies, the main show tomorrow night, we are revisiting a topic that we did a very, very long time ago. Video nasties. We're going to be talking about the whole 80s home video boom in horror and, like, all the weird censorship that they had with all those, like, exploitation movies. So I'm very excited because that's, like, always a topic that I like to talk about. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Richard Brown said, have you seen the Bella film Dark Eyes of London? I don't think I have, actually. That's one that I haven't seen. I've seen a lot of his movies, but there's a lot that I haven't seen, too. You know what I mean? And looking at him when we were doing the show about Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff, like, looking at all of their movies that they'd been in, I was like, holy shit, there's a lot that I haven't seen. So I really need to get on that. But, you know, I only have so much time, but I do try to, like, see all of that stuff. All right, so hopefully you guys can join us for the show about video nasties tomorrow night. That should be a fun one. So, yeah, have a good rest of your evening, you guys, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Bye.